We are back with another Flip Empire Show, episode 329. My name's Alex Pardo.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
How you doing, my friends? So kind of an interesting sidebar here as we launch into this Q&A episode on the Flip Empire Show. I actually, a couple of days ago, I hopped on the mic here. I recorded the content for this particular episode, and I realized that I actually never recorded it. So rookie mistake that has, I don't think that's ever happened to me. We've had one kind of blooper when I was interviewing someone about a year or so ago where for whatever reason, technical issue, it just didn't save, but that was something different. That was a painful learning lesson. And, you know, fortunately 329 episodes in, I've only had a couple of bloopers like that. But yeah, it was kind of rough because the podcast episode went about 20, 25 minutes. I really felt good about it, and I thought you would get a lot out of it and really enjoy it, and come to realize I actually never hit the record button. So rather than jump right back into it, because I had a lot that I covered, I said, let me just take a day or two off. Let me collect my thoughts and take this as an opportunity to come back even stronger, even better. So right now, this episode you're about to listen to is take two of what I'm going to share with you today, which is six scientifically validated principles of persuasion that are small, practical, and most of the time costless methods that right now you guys can implement in your life, in your business, to increase your persuasion in others. And most importantly, these are all ethical. Hopefully that goes without saying, but I want to give you a little bit of backstory as to how this actually came about, you know, and why I decided to dedicate an entire episode on the science of persuasion, essentially, these six scientifically validated principles of persuasion. So this was about a month and a half ago. Our acquisitions team leader was sick. You know, she's pregnant, and she's going to be giving birth any day now at the time of this recording. But about a month or so ago, she was sick. She couldn't, and she leads our acquisition sales trainings every Thursday morning. We have an acquisition sales training with our entire acquisitions team. And, you know, usually those trainings are about an hour. They consist of, you know, quality control check, listening to calls, pausing, stopping, you know, asking for feedback. What could we have done different? What could we have done better? Any missed opportunities? How did we build rapport? Did we use our tools, et cetera? Oftentimes we role play or we listen to, you know, face-to-face sales calls. Well, because she wasn't able to lead this call, last minute I asked our acquisitions manager, who is just awesome. He's been such an amazing addition to the team. And I asked him, I said, hey man, can you lead the call? He said, yeah, no problem. I got it. Like zero hesitation. And then I had no idea what to expect. Although I thought he was just going to kind of continue with the status quo of, you know, let's listen to some calls. Let's role play. Let's refine our skills. Let's get sharper here. From a sales perspective, and you know, these are all opportunities to get better. Every time you're just honing in on your craft, right? And to my surprise, he decided to go in a different direction. And I'm glad I didn't step in and kind of hit the pause button and just kind of get a little more detail. I just kind of let him run with it. And he started the call. It was a very inspirational call, you know, because he started the call with talking about mindset. And, you know, I live and breathe and eat mindset on a daily basis. Well, sometimes I fall short in that area, but I understand the importance of mindset. It's like taking a shower. You do it every day. You know, it's something you just constantly have to be working on, because life and others will tend to drag you down. And you have to build what David Goggins talks about, you know, the mental calluses. You have to build, you constantly have to work on your mindset. And so I really appreciated that. And it was also, it acted as a pattern interrupt for our team. I realized that they were expecting a sales training, and so was I. And to our surprise, he really stepped up and he started talking about mindset for 10, 15 minutes. And it was very interactive. It was engaging. He was asking questions. And I could tell our team was really into it. They were really engaged and it was thought provoking. It opened up some dialogue and it was really, really good content. I told him after, I'm like, dude, I wish we would have recorded this thing because I would love to share it here with you, you know, with my audience on the Flip Empire show. And I know that he would have been game for that. But after that 15 minutes and it was about mindset and back and forth dialogue, he said, I want to share a video with you guys that I came across on YouTube. And so the content I'm about to share with you, this is not my content. I want to give credit where credit is due. I'm recapping the 6 validated principles of science of persuasion. I'm recapping this from the video and I'm going to inject some stories. I'm going to inject, you know, some thoughts from my perspective, but I want to make sure that I give credit where credit is due. If you guys, and we'll include a link in the show notes, but if you guys go to YouTube and you just, you type in the search bar on YouTube, science of persuasion, it's about an 11 minute video. It's one of those like cartoon hand drawing type videos. But anyways, what I'm about to do is summarize this for you in the next probably 10 to 15 minutes here. So he shared this video with us. And what was cool was that instead of him just playing the video for 11 minutes, he stopped after each one. So there's 6 validated principles and he stopped after each one. And he said, how can we implement this into our business? You know, what can we do right now within each of our roles? What are some different things that we can do? And he was challenging us. He was raising the bar. He was obliterating the standard. You know, a couple episodes ago, it's titled Time to Obliterate the Standard. And that's exactly what he was doing. He was raising the bar for himself, for me, and for the rest of our team. And he got us really thinking. He challenged the status quo. You know, so after each principle, he started asking, how can we implement this into our business right now? And in some cases, we just didn't have an answer. In some cases, we had some thoughts or suggestions, but I'm going to share with you what came at the end of that sales training. And I want to kind of set the framework before I dive into the first principle here. After each principle, I want to now challenge you. Same thing he did with us. I want to challenge you. How can you implement this into your life and or business? Because this can apply to any area of your life. Okay, so after each principle, ask yourself, how can I implement this, something that's ethical and costless that can significantly move the needle in my life or my business, okay? So I want you to have that thought. I want to plant that seed with you after each one. And you're going to start to hopefully generate some ideas, some thoughts. And then I have a challenge for you at the end of this particular podcast. So let's dive right into it. Number one, reciprocity, okay? That's the first scientifically validated principle of persuasion. All right. So reciprocity in the video, reciprocity is nothing more than, the obligation to give when you receive. We've all had instances in our lives where we have received something and inherently in most cases, remember, there's no absolutes here. There's no always and there's no never. But in most cases, when I think about even recently, you know, I think when I just get something from someone, I'm more inclined or inherently, I want to just do something for them. That's the law of reciprocity at work. Okay. It's at play, whether you realize it or you don't. And in the video, it shares a very powerful example. So have you, let me pause. Of course you have. Think about a time when you've been out to lunch or dinner and you know, when you're about to get, you kind of do the international handwriting signal for like, can you bring me the check kind of thing? By the way, I've traveled, you know, to many, many places in this world. And regardless of where you go, every waiter understands like the classic hand in the air writing type signal, which is like indicates, hey, can you bring me the check, please? Just a side note that I think is kind of funny. But whenever, think about a time when you've been to a restaurant where the waiter has brought you the bill and with the bill came accompanied a mint or a chocolate, or usually it's a mint or a chocolate. It could be something else, I suppose. Maybe a toothpick, who knows? But it shares in this video how if a waiter brings a mint or a chocolate, basically a little tiny gift with the bill, tips increase by 3%. Okay, pretty cool, whatever, 3%. I mean, it's something. Now, here's what's interesting. If a waiter brings two mints with the bill, tips increase by 14%. Two little mints or two little chocolates or two little insert something that costs pennies. Tips increase by 14%. Now, this is what's really, really interesting. So the law of reciprocity, it's not just the fact that you give, but it's how you give that makes a big difference. Let me illustrate the example. If a waiter comes up to you with a bill and includes a mint or a chocolate or, again, whatever, and then gives you the bill, says something nice or whatever, walks away, and then walks back to your table and gives you a second mint or chocolate or whatever, tips increase by 23%. 23%. So it's the key here is, number one, it's you have to be the first one to give. Number two, it's got to be personalized. And number three, it's got to be unexpected. So don't just think about giving, but how you give. And here's something that the video doesn't mention that I want to inject in here because it's just my core belief. Guys, don't give in order to receive. To me, it's the same thing as when you tithe. You don't tithe so that the Lord can bless you. It's a byproduct of it. You know, you tithe because you want to. You give because you want to. Don't do it in order to get something in return, because then it's just not as authentic. You get what I'm saying? It's just, yeah, the law of reciprocity will probably still play out in your favor. Or it's just not in your favor. It's just going to play out because it's got no biases, right? That's the law of reciprocity. But I believe that if you want to give, do it out of your heart because you want to, not because you expect to get something in return. Okay. But I just thought it was really interesting that if you give two mints, tips increase 14%. But if you give one mint, you walk away and then you come back and you give a second one, you say something nice, tips are going to increase 23%. So that's the law of reciprocity. Number two, scarcity. In a nutshell, people want more of the things that they're less of, okay? People want what they can't have. And the example in the video is British Airways years and years ago. This was probably, I would say, late 80s, early 90s, I'm guessing. Do you remember the Concorde flight? You know, it was in the 80s when I was growing up as a kid, or in the 90s, it was, I think it was the fastest commercial airline at the time. I mean, it could get you from point A to point B in a fraction of the time that just a regular commercial airliner could. It was the plane that had the pointy nose, pointy downward. It was a really, really cool plane. Well, British Airways was the one that offered the Concorde flight. And I'm not sure what happened. I don't have the backstory, but essentially British Airways communicated to their customer base that they were going to stop offering the Concorde flight at a future date. Like, they were just, hey, we're not offering the Concorde flight anymore. It's done. Well, the very next day, sales skyrocketed. Think about that for a second. Nothing changed. They didn't slice the prices in half. They didn't increase the prices. They didn't say, hey, we're only going to do New York to London. We're not doing any other flights. All they did was they said, hey, we are no longer offering the Concorde flight. The very next day, I forget how many X, it didn't specify in the video, but it was more than 2X where sales just took off. So I think the takeaway here is it's not just enough to point out the benefits or the features of your product or service, but also what's unique and what does your client, your avatar, what do they stand to lose by not taking you up on your offer? So think about, you know, if you're listening to this, chances are you're a real estate investor, or at the very minimum, you're an entrepreneur. You're looking to get into business. You're in business. You have an existing business. You're going out there. You're doing deals. How can we inject scarcity into our business when we work with homeowners, or when we're selling our wholesale properties to cash buyers, or when we're working with private lenders or realtors? Think about scarcity. People want more of the things that they're less of. People want what they can't have. Okay. So I'll just ask you that question, marinate on it for a few seconds, and we're going to circle back to all this at the end of this podcast episode. Number three, authority. People will follow you, or follow anybody that is believed to be credible, knowledgeable experts. Okay. So by putting yourself in a position of influence, you're gaining credibility and authority in your marketplace. And that can be done numerous ways. That's not the purpose of this particular podcast episode, but how can you place yourself in a position of authority where people are going to view you as credible, knowledgeable expert, as a credible, knowledgeable expert? The example that they shared in the video was one particular physical therapist was able to persuade more clients to exercise by simply displaying their diploma on the wall. Okay, just by displaying a diploma on the wall, they're seen as credible, knowledgeable, they're seen as an expert, as an authority figure. And just because of that, they were able to persuade their clients to exercise more. Here's another example that I think is going to land more with you because of the business that we're in of, you know, houses, right? Even though we're in the house business, we're really in the marketing and the people business. But realtors were able to increase appointments by 20%, and they were able to increase contracts signed by 15% just because the receptionist gave the potential client on the other end of that phone the realtor's resume and their credentials before the call was transferred. So in other words, when somebody was interested in buying a property, right? And the receptionist would pick up the phone and say, oh yeah, so look, let me connect you with Sally Joe. I just made that name up. Sally Joe, just so you know, she's been in this particular, she's been in this industry for 20 plus years. She's an expert in this zip code. She's bought and sold the most properties, blah, 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 blah. Well, just by them seeding that information prior to the call being transferred, they saw an increase in appointments and an increase in contract signed. This one to me was, we actually, so on our sales call, this one took up about a 6 to 8 minute conversation because I challenged this one, and here's why I challenged it. And by the way, I think both of them are right, but I challenged it because I come from the school of thought that people don't care about your resume, your credentials. People care about what you can do for them, right? The fact that I'm the host of this podcast, I don't talk about the fact that I got in business, you know, 14 years ago and I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deals. You don't care about that, and neither should you. That's not why you listen to this podcast, right? You listen to this podcast hopefully because you, not because you enjoy listening to my voice, but it's because of the content, or it's because of the inspiration some have told me, or it's because an idea that you can pick up and implement in your business or your life or whatever, right? It's not because of my resume or what I've done. It's what potentially I'm able to do for you, right? So, but it was interesting that they, and I'm taking this study at face value, that they measured this, they tracked this, and they were able to increase appointments and contracts by letting people know, hey, you're dealing with an expert here, someone that specializes in this particular area. And I could totally see that working, you know? So think about what is something ethical and costless that you can implement in your business with sellers or with buyers, okay? So let me just recap since we're halfway there. Number one, reciprocity. Number two, scarcity. Number three, authority. Number four, consistency. If you've been plugged into the Flip Empire Show for any length of time, you know that I'm always talking about be consistent. Be consistent with your marketing. Be consistent with your message. Be consistent with your actions. So consistency, looking for and asking for small commitments that can be made. Two examples that they shared here. One particular neighborhood, I guess they had an issue with a lot of people driving fast within the neighborhood, and it was a family, you know, family neighborhood. There are a lot of kids playing on the streets, playing basketball, whatever the case might be. And they started putting signs out in the neighborhood that said, drive safely. And they did not notice that it made any difference. Okay. Now they went back and they put little like postcards or flyers on their windows in every house that basically said, drive safely. And they did that for a week. And then after a week, they introduced the signs again and they started putting signs. And then they noticed that that made a big difference. Okay. So by first getting a small commitment, just by putting a flyer on the window of every house, that was a small commitment that led to a bigger action with the signs. The second example they shared was a doctor's office was able to reduce the number of missed appointments by 18% just by asking the patients to actually write down the appointment details themselves. So just a simple act of the patient writing down the day and time of their next appointment reduced the number of appointments by 18%. This was also a big one that took a good 5-minute conversation of our 1-hour training, because this year we have had some challenges with homeowners canceling or rescheduling appointments. We've even had some homeowners that schedule an appointment, you know, we'll call several times before to reconfirm. We'll show up at the appointment and, you know, the seller ghosted us. They went MIA, you know, and we've had that happen a handful of times this year. And we really started talking about maybe this is something that we can do. You know, when our lead manager, who does an awesome job, when she's on the phone with sellers, should she be asking sellers, hey, listen, do you have a paper and pen? Or, you know, can you go to your calendar app if you're on your smartphone and just, you know, save the date and time of this appointment? Think about that. Something like that, just getting them to take some sort of action, it can reduce the number of appointments. Number five, liking. Okay, liking. So three important factors when it comes to liking. Number one, people who are similar to us. So people, you typically like people that are like you, if that makes any sense. Okay, so number one, people who are similar to us. Number two, people who pay us compliments. You tend to just like, it's human nature, somebody when they compliment you. You know, I mean, compliments feel good, and that's, you know, not always, right? You might get a compliment from someone that you don't particularly care for. But usually, generally speaking, you know, you like somebody who pays you a compliment and vice versa. Number three, people who cooperate with us, okay? So think about, you guys have probably heard the quote or the saying, you know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. I think of the same thing here, okay? So by the way, that's not always, no, I was going to go off on a tangent, but disregard that I don't think it was going to be as relevant as I initially thought it was. But liking, what's something ethical and costless when it comes to the law of liking, right? Or that that scientifically validated principle of persuasion that you can implement in your business. It could be something as simple as just, you know, when somebody calls, you figure out how you can get on a level playing field with them. You figure out how you can build rapport. You know, oftentimes when we listen to our calls with sellers and the seller mentions that they just got back from a trip, or the seller mentions that they have a doctor's appointment, or the seller mentions we hear a dog barking in the background. Those are all clues. Those are all opportunities for our team member to build rapport with them, right? Oh, I hear you have a dog. Well, I have a couple of dogs. By the way, you don't want to BS or you don't want to lie. If you don't have any dogs, don't say that example. But if you like dogs, you can simply say, I love dogs. What kind of dog is that? You know, just think, look for opportunities to build rapport, because you're going to create more of a likability factor the deeper you can get into rapport with somebody, okay? Number six is the last one, consensus. So in a nutshell, people will look to the actions and behaviors of others to determine their own. People will look to the actions and behaviors of others to determine their own. Here's the one example that they shared in the video, but they went like 3 or 4 levels deep on this one example. So check this out. A particular hotel, I don't know where it was, they didn't talk about this, but just putting two and two together, I'm assuming they wanted to reduce some of their expenses. And they wanted to, essentially their goal was to get guests to reuse their towels and linens more often. Instead of having them washed every day or however often hotels wash their linens, they wanted to get guests to reuse them, right? That would save the hotel some cost and some time and some resources, et cetera. So the hotel placed a small sign in the bathroom to encourage guests to reuse their towels and linens. And that had a nominal impact on towel reuse, but nothing to really move the needle. So what they did was they then placed a sign and they pointed out the benefits that reusing their linens and towels can have on environmental protection. That right there, just by asking them to reuse and then pointing out a benefit, increased compliance by 35%. Okay. They also found that people that checked in for 4 nights or longer, 75% of those people will also reuse their towels. Interesting. Now, they took it a step further. I'm trying to think how it went here, but I believe what the way it went was they wanted to increase it even further. And then they changed the sign, and they basically said 75% of people who have stayed in this room, and I think they put in caps, this room, have reused their towel. By then, not just putting the fact that it has an impact on environmental protection, but by basically saying, hey, 3 out of 4 people that have stayed in this very room have reused their towel, that popped it up an additional 33%. Very, very interesting. So I ask you now, to recap the 6 scientifically validated principles of persuasion that, again, the link will be in the show notes page. I encourage you to watch the video, Science of Persuasion. Number 1, reciprocity. Number 2, scarcity. Number 3, authority. Number 4, consistency. Number 5, liking. Number 6, consensus. Go back and listen to this episode again. Watch that video. Challenge yourself and your team. How can you come up with one ethical and costless idea that you can implement for each of these laws, for each of these scientifically validated principles that can have an impact on your business, can have an impact on your life? And that's actually what came out of the sales call. At the end, I enjoyed the call so much. I got so much value. Although years and years ago, I had seen this video, it reminded me of so many things. And I actually even learned a few things. And I challenged the team, and everybody bought in. I said, guys, by this time next week, by the next time we hop on our call, I want everybody on our team to come up with one ethical and costless idea based on these principles that we can implement in our business to make an impact. Just one. And then when we jumped on the huddle right after, because we have our sales call early in the morning, and then we have our 15-minute team huddle with everybody in the company right after, I challenged the rest of the team that's not in the acquisitions department. And what happened was, a week later, we all came to the table, and many of us had more than one idea. We had probably collectively, we had over 20 to 30 things. And now we're in the process of distilling that to the top 3 that we're going to then implement in the business. Like, do you think that is going to have a positive impact in the business? I know with 1000% certainty that it will. And if for whatever reason it doesn't, we go to the next top 3 on that list. We got over 30 ideas, and maybe what I'll do on an upcoming episode is just share some of those things with you. But that's really what I want to challenge you with today. And I want you to, hopefully the message and the content in this particular Flip Empire Show episode is landing with you, because whether you realize it or not, we're always trying to persuade people to do something we want. It could be we're trying to persuade our kids to go to bed early, or to eat healthier, or to, you know, behave better. It could be we're trying to persuade our significant other to go to this restaurant you might want to go to, or to go on this trip, or to give you a massage. It could be we're trying to persuade our team members to, you know, insert the blank. But people are always trying to persuade us, and we're always trying to persuade people, whether you realize it or not. So think about how you can apply the science of persuasion to your life and to your business. And I really, truly do believe that this is something that can just have a massive, massive impact and make a huge difference in your life and in your business. So guys, that's the content and the message for today's episode. I want to just cover one quick housekeeping item. I've mentioned this on a handful of episodes, how excited I am about the hybrid coaching and mastermind group that we are in the process of getting, in the process of launching. We have 6 or 7 people that have committed. We're targeting and working with experienced investors and entrepreneurs that not just want to make more money and grow their business, but also want a better life. They want to impact others. They want to live life on their terms, and they want their business to serve them and their lifestyle, not the other way around. So this isn't just a coaching and mastermind group 100% focused on real estate investing. Although the majority of the people in the room will be, experienced high-level real estate investors, but we're also, looking to bring in some successful entrepreneurs in different spaces. But it's not just about business and real estate. It's also about life. And so I'm so excited. It's truly what I believe I've been put on this earth to do. And I'm excited about making a deeper impact. So if you guys have, if you want any more details on that, just shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com. In the subject line, put interested in all caps. And then we'll be in contact, see if it's a fit. You know, we're going to be masterminding the 3 mastermind retreats here in South Florida. And we're going to have monthly Zoom calls. There's going to be one-on-one calls as well every single month. I mean, I'm just really, really excited about the quality of the people that we're putting in this group and the difference and the impact that, you know, we hope to have on them and that they're going to have on their family, their community, their inner circle, their environment. So just super, super excited about that. If you want to connect with me on that, just shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com, and we will go from there. Love you, my friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. Share it with somebody. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you get notified every Monday and Thursday when new episodes come out. And I just ask, share this with somebody on social media, maybe tag me. I'd love to interact with you, you know, engage in a dialogue, and you let me know how I can be of service to you, okay? Connect with you on the next one. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.